Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be ever pleasing in your sight. Amen. It is lovely to be back here this morning. I say back as if I've been away, but with COVID, and then I'm currently just finished my second year placement and training at Theological Institute, and I've been on placement for a number of weeks in Maudsley Parish. So I feel like it has been a while since I've been in church and not just at messy church in the car park. And so it's lovely to be back in community with everyone. Last time I wore pink shorts at the front of church, Pete McConnell gave me a hard time for it. I think his words were somewhere along the lines of, thank you for your encouragement this morning and also for encouraging us in style, because it takes a brave man to wear pink shorts. And I put them on this morning and thought of him. And I'm so glad you're here this morning, Phil, to see me standing here again. As we study the book of Jonah, and I really love the book of Jonah. The book of Jonah is the first book that I did my undergraduate in youth work and theology, and the first book that we studied was the book of Jonah, the first really in-depth study. And so often we study the book of Jonah and we look at the first three chapters. God has plan, man runs away, man gets eaten by big fish, returns and completes God's plan. However, this awkwardness of chapter 4 is an incredible part of the story that we get to journey through today. The book of Jonah as a whole is an incredible imagery of the sovereignty and power of God. In chapter 1 and 2, we see God having command and power over fish, over the largest sea mammals, over whales, over the waves and wind. And then in chapter 4, we see him have command over nature and plants and sending the smallest of worms to destroy a plant. Interesting fact, which is totally against the rest. It has nothing to do with anything else where I'm going. But the Jonah chapter 2, verse 10, was one of the first Bible verses I ever learned off by heart. We had a competition. Some of you might go and look it up as I'm speaking. In my first job as a youth worker, we organized some hoodies with our logo and a verse in the back. And we had a competition for which verse would appear in the back. And we just did it completely by votes. You could vote for your favorite verse. And the young people got together without me knowing, and they all voted for Jonah chapter 2 verse 10, and with that the fish vomited Jonah onto the shore. It never made it onto the back of jumpers, but it still has been a verse which has been, it's a book of the Bible that means an awful lot to me, and I'm very close to. But my English teacher would tell me off for it, just for this chapter 4 for our reading today. I don't think my English teacher at school, we didn't get on that well, but she once threatened to run me down in her car, but part of this passage begins with the word but. And I learned that we're not supposed to start sentences with the word but. There's potentially occasions in which we can do. So we need to go back and look at what Jonah is saying but about. So let's go back to the end of chapter 3. When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he relented and did not bring them the destruction he had threatened. But to Jonah, this seemed very wrong, and he became angry. So often we understand Jonah as not wanting to follow God's plan because he was a humble man thinking, I'm not worthy, surely there are better people to do this than me. But Jonah hated Nineveh. He despised them. The Assyrians were people that he hated and thought that they deserved to die. He despised this group of people so much that even after God said, I forgive these people, he took himself east of the city and sat and watched the city just in case God changed his mind and actually decided to kill them all. He despised these people that he tried to buy himself as much time by traveling to Tarshish, which was literally the southern coast of Spain, as far away as possible that mankind at the time knew they could travel. He wanted to buy as much time as possible for this city to face destruction. This was a group of people that he despised. And I really respect Jonah for how he begins chapter 4. I have a lot of respect for how he begins it, because he comes and begins a conversation with God in complete honesty. He doesn't come to God and say, that's so nice, thanks for saving those people, it's really important we saved 120,000 lives. He comes and then goes away and complains to the people back home again. He has an honest conversation with God in which he comes and says, this is the capital of my enemies. I think they all deserve to die. And so often I think, within my faith and perhaps within yours as well, we think to ourselves that we can hide our true feelings and understanding from God. Yet in this story, we see Jonah coming and communicating his honesty. As he was speaking it, he was probably understanding the issues with his words. I doubt he expected God to change his mind. He knew who he was dealing with. He knew, I know that you are a gracious and compassionate God. Yet there's still part of him wants to see these people die. We don't know the story that Jonah has gone through before Jonah chapter 1. We don't know much about him. We don't know necessarily if he had family who were hurt or wounded or injured in some kind of way. We don't know what loss or pain he's been through in his life. All we know about him is he hates these group of people, yet he has followed God's commands and God's desire for his life honestly in a way that he didn't necessarily agree with. And he comes and says, I know that this is who you are, but I don't agree with you. And has honest conversation and communication with him. I think that you're wrong. And there's significant times in our lives when we need to bring before God honesty. Honesty for how we're feeling about things. To say, I know this is what you think, God, but I disagree. And to have that honest communication that helps us grow and forever change us. Because it is only through that honest communication in which we grow and change. I remember on many occasions having honest screaming arguments with God. I remember standing in Castle Gardens, having after church one night, going into Castle Gardens and screaming and being cross and angry with God. We've shared with some people, but perhaps not with everyone, our journey through infertility and miscarriage and the way to having our kids. And I stood and honestly, whilst after a church service in here one Sunday, had an argument with God in Castle Gardens. How dare you not do this? How I work for the church, surely I deserve more than this. And as I spoke the words, I heard them and disagreed with them. I heard them in my coming out of my mouth and knew the illogical thought process behind them. I knew that wasn't how it worked, but I needed to have that honest conversation with God. As part of our journey, as part of where we went, an honest conversation is required with God. To have that, to express our anger and to express where we're coming from. Yet in this story, we deal with a God at all points who is compassionate and looks after all of the people, both Jonah and the people of Nineveh. We need to be honest with God, but equally, we have to be honest with the people around us. Because equally, sometimes we feel like we can't communicate with people around us. I perhaps don't speak for everyone, but I speak for myself. We only see of people's lives what they choose to share with us. We see a filter of people's lives that has a nice Valencia filter to make everything look slightly sunnier. We see the photographs on holiday of, for us yesterday, of our kids on the beach playing in the sea, but you didn't see the arguments I had with those kids trying to put sun cream on them. You didn't see the part where we had a screaming argument about whether or not we were going to wear sandals or Crocs. You didn't see that part of my life because I didn't choose to share that on my Instagram or feed or with the people around me or sending pictures to my family. Because we choose what we share with people. But we need to be honest with the people around us, as well as being honest with God. To be honest with them about what journeys through our life, about the things that we are feeling and the things that are impacting us. Because we are not designed to journey through life by ourselves. We are designed to do this in community with people around us who love us and support us. Having a baby over lockdown was a strange expression. There's many people in this church who won't have met my daughter, Eden, yet she turns one in 2 or 3 weeks. Okay, she's nearly walking, and yet there's people that we'd still love her to meet that she's not met. Yet one significant part of that journey was that our home group leader was one of the people who did come and visit us to make that effort of representing everyone here today to come and share with us and meet with us and to meet our daughter on behalf of the church. And Sam and Danielle stand here week after week in the announcements sometimes, and Bill and Karen as well, going blue in the face, asking people to sign up for home groups. And we don't do it necessarily just for the teaching and development, that is part of it, but it is also to be part of a compassionate, caring group of people around us who we can journey through life with, and we can share in these things with as we travel. I'm a big fan of Tim Keller. In one of Tim Keller's books, it's either his preaching book or his prayer book, he shares a story of a couple who come to him and they say, "We've had a miscarriage. We'd like you to pray for us. But don't worry too much about it," because he turned around and that person's home group was standing all behind them being like, "We've got this and we're looking after them." And isn't that a fantastic imagery of what church should be? Of a group of people joining together, not looking for one person, but for all of us in shared leadership and journey as we travel together, supporting one another, being honest, and sharing that honesty with God and with each other. We only see of our lives what we choose to share with people. We go on, and Jonah obviously realizes that in his honesty that he is meant to be forgiving. Let's not excuse the Assyrians for this. The Assyrians have probably done some awful things. They had been killing and maiming and torturing and stealing from lots of people. These are not nice people who have now been forgiven, and so they have done things wrong. But equally, Jonah has also done things wrong in this story. He's realized that he needs to forgive. And we forgive because God has forgiven also. That God has first shown us how to forgive. That he has shown the compassion and mercy. And then he has decided to forgive otherwise. Now, we ask ourselves the question, why did God choose Jonah? Why did God decide to go and find someone to help the Assyrians and say, "I know who I'm going to send, the man who hates them"? Surely there were God-fearing men of the time who loved people. But yet he chose Jonah for that mission because he knew that Jonah had to grow and develop through that too. That Jonah needed to learn forgiveness. That as well as his honest conversation, he needed to journey through forgiveness. In forgiving other people, in forgiving himself and experiencing that. We did a lot of work with any youth work degree, a lot of it focuses on young people in areas of of turmoil. And I currently work in an estate in Portadown, which our young people were the ones who made the news, like out, pardon me, out protesting and arguing about Irish sea borders and the likes. And also, there's a lot of conflict and division within communities based on history that is well known within this country. And as a lot of our youth work degree focused on this, a lot of it focused around the African philosophy, specifically South African philosophy of Ubuntu. And Ubuntu, I'm sure many of us have heard, but for those of you who don't, it's an African philosophy of "I am because you are," that humanity exists in a whole. And before that we can begin to repair ourselves as a whole, we also need to forgive other people. We need to journey through a state of forgiveness and forgiving other people before we ourselves can experience the fullness of life. That for Jonah, his potential was not being reached. God saw that in Jonah's life, there was more that he could achieve, that he could not do so because of this hatred. So God, I think, chose him to get this sense of Ubuntu, the fullness of humanity, "I am because you are," that he forgave others and therefore grew in himself. Perhaps in our lives, there's people that we need to forgive or journey through. There are barriers holding us back from God. Maybe you're waiting on someone else to make the first apology because you're too stubborn to make that apology yourself. But sometimes we need to realize that before we can heal completely, we need to forgive others for the hurt in our life. God replies, "Is it right for you to be angry?" He brings us a Sunday school lesson next. This could appear in any children's talk at the front of church, that he has this wonderful image lesson where he brings a plant, he provides Jonah with a plant, and then kills that plant. And Jonah's like, "Whoa, that's my plant. Why did you get rid of it?" And he goes, "No, it's not your plant. It's the plant that I provided for you. Why are you angry about it? Because it was my plant in the first place. In fact, why are you angry about that plant and not angry about the 120,000 lives? And also, if you care so much about plants, there's also animals and livestock in there, which we haven't even counted. If you care so much about life, why are you willing to let the life in there be sacrificed? Why is it that that is there?" Now, let's ask an interesting question again. Who recorded this conversation? There wasn't a third person in this room sitting with a notebook in the corner. Somebody has to have written this down. God didn't go away and make a notebook and hand it to someone. It was Jonah. So Jonah is recording this story. Jonah is writing down in this story his weaknesses and his flaws. He's being honest with us. He is showing that he needs to forgive. But also, we have to realize that Jonah is the one recording this story and showing his silly mistakes. And he is showing us here that God's plan is the best plan. He is showing us that there are things in our life that we can get angry about, but equally, if we are angry about those things, there are more just arguments to be angry about. Now, I've had this conversation with my three-year-old. Yesterday, okay, we had an argument about walking to the beach. Okay, I went to visit my in-laws in their caravan, and to walk from the beach, you had to walk across some rough, spiky ground. And the argument was, are you going to wear your Crocs or your sandals? Okay, those were his choices, and he chose none. He chose a screaming tantrum on the floor, okay? In the same way that Jonah says here, I am so angry, I wish I were dead, okay? This was Patrick yesterday. I'm not wearing my Crocs, I am not wearing my sandals. And so, perhaps it was a wrong step in my parenting, but I went, fine, you can wear neither. And we walked to the beach, and lo and behold, halfway to the beach, his feet got sore. He said, I want my sandals. I knew this was going to happen, so I had them in my pocket and I was able to produce them to him. He learned something along that way, as a three-year-old did. Jonah is in a three-year-old's position here. He is throwing the tantrum of, I wish I were dead, okay? Like, the fact that this plant is dead is such an injustice that I wish I were dead as well. I've had that argument before as well. And this is the verse that I resound with. I relate to Jonah more than any other verse than this one. He has made his bed. He has said, this is where I am planting my flag and what I am committing to. Sam and I have had this argument before. We've been in staff meetings before where I've said, this is what needs to happen. And Sam's gone, no, Gareth, no. And I can admit now my mistakes and that I was wrong. There were times I was right, but we'll not talk about those. No, I'm only joking. There's more times than not I was wrong. But Jonah stands saying, this is what we need to be worried about here. We need to be worried about this plant. And God says, no. There are more important things than this plant. There are things that we need to focus on. There are lots of reasons that we can get angry. Jonah's a very angry man in this story. There are lots of things for us to get angry about. We might be angry about how governments are handling things at the minute. Maybe we're happy, maybe we're not. We might be angry about how someone has treated us. We might be angry about lots of things. But there are more important things for us to be angry about. We can be angry about the government maybe not opening things up quickly enough that we're happy with, but yet have we forgotten that the government have cut their aid to foreign countries? Maybe we can be angry, most of us have all got our second job now, why are we not back open again? Have we forgotten that India, which is producing most of the vaccines, there are people there that still haven't received it? There are lots of things for us to be angry about at the minute, but we are angry about the wrong things sometimes. We need to find God's righteous justice. We need to find God's anger and pray a terrifying prayer. There's a song that we sing in here that I love but also refuse to sing. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you will guide me, lead me, guide me. Thank you, Lord. Terrifying statement to make. Terrifying to say, God, I want to go and do whatever you'd lead me to do. That is a big statement to make. But here, this is what God is directing us to do. To go into those scary places, to follow his plan, to take that righteous anger. I think it's so important we don't see a response from Jonah. This ends on a cliffhanger. It ends without us knowing what's going to happen. God makes a statement that Jonah doesn't have time for his rebuttal. We don't know what happened, whether or not he stayed there for a week or stayed there for a month or if he got up and left immediately. We can assume that eventually he realized his mistakes in the fact that he recorded this passage himself. But we need to realize that there are things in here where he is admitting his weaknesses as he journeys through. We need to realize that we need to admit our weaknesses to God, that we need to see where those gaps are in our life. where we need to be angry, who we need to forgive, and who we need to be honest with. What I've said today is a Sunday school lesson, okay? I've stood up this morning and I've not necessarily given you any big, amazing new theological insights. I've done that on purpose. Well, mostly because I don't know them. But I've also done this on purpose. But like, all I'm saying today is be honest to one another, be honest to God, forgive people, and trust in God's plan. We could say that in Kids Zone and they'll understand it. But as we sit here this morning, we understand that is a complex statement to make. Honesty is a complex thing to understand. Honest words can heal and can hurt. Forgiveness is not simple. Getting over pain is hard. Trusting in God's plan is scary. And if you're not scared, come and tell me how you do that. Those are big statements to make. Jonah learned these after travel, still didn't get them after living inside a fish, okay? We need to journey to God to learn his compassion and mercy as he has shown us in the most perfect way. May we journey in a way that learns to be honest with God, to be honest with one another, to forgive freely, and to be trusting in the scary plan that God has for our lives. God is nothing in this story but compassionate and merciful. To the Assyrians, to Jonah, to everyone, there is no limit to who God is showing this compassion and mercy. We will follow as he leads. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, may we serve you in honesty. You know our hearts, so why do we hide them from you? May we be honest with you. May we be honest with one another. May we forgive those who have hurt us. Those pains are hard, but Father, we ask that in your mercy and grace, we know that we have been forgiven much. May we forgive this little. And Father, may we always know and trust in your plan for our lives. In your name, Father. Amen.